glory to you, O Lord. Now when Jesus had heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea, across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately, they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord.
Be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. A couple themes that can be drawn from today is revelation, witness. Though this is not the kind of revelation that comes crashing into our lives, jolts us into awareness. This post-Christmas time, the life of the church reflects on ways where God might be a little bit more subtle. As David Toole writes, "There are no bright stars, no earthquakes, just a voice that strikes our ear amid the ordinaries of our lives and announces that God is among us." What does that voice sound like in your life? When do you hear and notice that voice throughout the daily grind? When discerning a call to ordained ministry, Lutherans speak of an inward call and an external call, which means inwardly we may feel a tug to be a pastor or deacon in the church. And then there's the external affirmation that other people in your life and throughout the church, the people of God, will say, "You might be called to be a pastor." And then there's a whole process where that inward and outward call, inward and external, is affirmed. But I don't believe we do a good job as Lutherans in applying that concept to the entire body of Christ and the various vocations that one is called to. We fail to communicate the gifts that each and every one of us have, the gifts that you all have to enrich the lives of others. Because there are too many people in the world, and even in our own community here, that don't believe they have a call in their life, that they have gifts to do holy work in this world. But in our gospel lesson, after Jesus heard that John the Baptist was arrested, Jesus goes to remind those that society would have seen at that day as not having the gifts to do particular holy things, that they are called to do something holy. They're more than just, as the world sees, just fishermen. And as Brad Hogan reminds us, Galilee is a backwater region. Galilee was not the center of culture. It was not a center of power or influence. It was not Columbus, Ohio. It was not New York City or Washington, D.C. Perhaps Galilee has as much influence on the culture, power, and influence as Cardington, Ohio does. Now, our gospel lesson says that Jesus withdrew to Galilee. Have you found yourself withdrawing at times for good reasons or for bad reasons? But when we have a calling, when we have a purpose, when we have a sense that we can control what's going on, we're not going to be tempted to withdraw. But when we wrestle with our human limitations, we tend to withdraw. It's a natural one. It's easy to withdraw. It's easy to escape. It's easy to not know what's going on in the world, right? To be numb to all that. Because we can't change it anyway, right? So why bother? Hagen writes, John's arrest and eventual beheading foreshadows Jesus' own arrest and death by crucifixion. Prior to his crucifixion, outside the walls of Jerusalem, Jesus is arrested. Then upon the cross, worse than withdrawing to Galilee, Jesus is left to die, forsaken by God. Jesus doesn't give us the power, control, and influence we ultimately want, so that we can change ourselves, others, and the world. Instead, while on the cross, he abandons us to those unfulfilled dreams and desires. We are left to die with much that we hoped was possible, unfulfilled. Jesus not only withdraws to the backwaters of Galilee, he leaves our misdirected hopes forsaken at the foot of the cross. We look for signs. We try to figure out the plan. But we can miss the presence and voice of God in the mundane. And as I was reminded after worship from a parishioner last night, they miss the voice of God when God grabs them and shakes them and jolts them too. So not just missing the God in the mundane, but even when it's obvious. But we can miss the presence and voice of God in the messiness of life. We can miss the voice and presence of God in the places we would consider God forsaken. As we hear in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, "For the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." And in 1 Corinthians, Paul is lamenting division. Are we experiencing division today in our world? Absolutely. We're created as broken human beings. We're comfortable with division, but God is calling us to unity. Embracing the gifts of unity and diversity is something that God has given us as blessings to be received. But we keep repeating the cycle of division and hate. My mom always said, you don't have to like everybody, but you have to love everybody. Right? So she always said, you don't have to like everybody, you have to love everybody. How hard is that, folks? Can we be honest for a second? How hard is that? To break that cycle, to break that cycle of hate. Because it's easy just to put the wall up. It's easy to choose that route than to break that cycle of hate and division with love. But that's what Jesus does on the cross. It's through the cross that Jesus breaks that cycle of hate and division. It is through the cross that God is bearing witness to life and love that prevails in the end. Can we hear that witness? Can we hear and answer that call? It's no wonder why Paul would say that there are some who are going to see the cross as foolish. Because we don't want to break that cycle. And God in Christ Jesus breaks that cycle of hate, division, violence, and death by dying on the cross. And his response to the world is life, forgiveness, and love. It sounds poetic. It sounds beautiful. On Easter, we're going to be very excited to celebrate it. But it's hard to live it. Yet as Christians, we should be seeing God in those places where the world would consider foolish and embody the love of Jesus. We should point to how God is revealed in those spaces and places. The cross is foolishness. The idea of a crucified God is absurd. Yet for us, we walk away with hope, life, and a reminder in God's presence in all places. No place is God forsaken because of the cross. Which is why as a church, we need to do better in equipping disciples with the knowledge that they are to bear witness to God in the places God has placed them, placed all of us, in the vocations God has called each and every one of us to, in the relationships that God has blessed us with. We hear the line in our gospel text, fish for people. It's worth reflecting and decolonizing our implicit and even explicit associations with that call to evangelism. Because in Matthew chapter 4, verse 16, we heard the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. For those who sat in the region in the shadow of death, light has dawned. Now Matthew chapter 15 and chapter 4, verses 15 and 16, are in relation to what we heard in our first lesson from Isaiah, chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. And it refers to those who were exiled by the Assyrians. But we might hear people sitting in darkness with the mentality of a Western Christianity that we've inherited, that, well, people who sit in darkness are less than, or they're lacking something. But Isaiah chapter 9 offers hope to survivors of the Babylonian exile. And our ministry is to offer a word of hope, the word of hope that we experience in Jesus Christ to those people who are suffering or feeling as if they're in exile in this broken world. A decolonized understanding of fishing for people is that we don't catch people and then strip away from them a sense of who they are, that they would conform and be in uniform with us culturally and everything else otherwise. Fishing for people is about salvation for today as much as it is about an eternal sense of salvation. But I believe a good Lutheran sense of evangelism, and I'm sure I've shared this before, is that we don't go around asking people, are you saved? Our question should be, are you well? That's the question we ask people. Because we care about the whole person and minister to their needs, whether it be in mind, body, or spirit, or all the above. To fish for people is an opportunity to reflect on our ministries to how all people can be caught up in the love of God. We hear Jesus say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. And again, repent is just turning around, turning back to God. Embracing the God who is present among us. Receiving that kingdom that has come near, and then pointing others to it. We turn to this God. We are attentive to God's voice and revelation in our lives. And then we are caught up and called to lift others up with the love of God, because we're called to care about the whole person. Notice our gospel lesson says, Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. Jesus cared about the whole person too. Cared about the whole person. So the wholeness and wellness of people, that's the concern of our Lord in following the way of Jesus. It's our concern as well. And we will struggle along the way. But we are to be reminded as God's holy people that we are always caught and called, caught up in God's love and called to serve our Lord. Because the good news is when we withdraw, Jesus is going to find you. Right? That's the good news and promise you can cling to. Right? That's the beautiful image of the cross and God entering those God-forsaken places in Jesus Christ for us. One of those beautiful images that I love to share over and over is that when you run away from the Father, you're going to run into the Son. So no matter how far you withdraw, Jesus is going to be there. Because He takes on the cross and He enters death for our sake. As we hear in Romans 8, there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ. So you and I are called and caught to share the love of Jesus. And each and every one of us has gifts to share in this world to enrich the lives of others. And every place on this planet makes a difference in the lives and in the world, one way or another, whether we acknowledge it or not. Because differences aren't just made in cities and capitals of nations, but they're made in Cardington, Ohio, in Marion and Moore counties, Marion and Morrow counties. God is here, folks. God is here. The light shines, and the kingdom of heaven has come near. Thanks be to God. Amen.